The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, of course, the YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there as we get set for what an incredible week. Championship week, the Eagles and the Commanders for the right to go to the Super Bowl. Quickly, tonight is the Baseball Hall of Fame announcement. I put up my ballot a few weeks ago on the pod. It's in the feed, my hypothetical ballot. Good luck tonight. Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley, Billy Wagner, Bobby Abreu, all the players with Phillies ties that have a chance to make the Hall of Fame tonight. We shall see. I think Wagner's going to make it. I think Utley will have a very representative vote total and be on his way. We'll see about Rollins and obviously Bobby Abreu and how they do tonight. All right, but on the Eagles, I want to start today. First thoughts on the Washington Commanders. I got seven early thoughts on the Commanders game and how this thing might play out. Just like my first, like I really start thinking about the game. That I woke up today and I really started thinking about the Commanders and the matchup and facing them for a third time and all that kind of stuff. All right, so first thought, and I think it's a really important one to bring up as we get to seven early thoughts on the Washington Commanders-Eagles game on Sunday. This will be Washington's fourth straight road game. It is historically one of the most challenging spots I've ever seen a team need to finish to get to a Super Bowl. And I went back and I looked at the 12 teams that have been, you know, 11 teams, the Commanders trying to become the 12th, 11 teams that have gone from the wild card round all the way to making the Super Bowl. And none have ever had to go the path of four straight road games. None. You go back and you look at the teams that have had to do this in terms of three straight road games. Obviously, you know, if you're going to be on the road the whole time, this is going to be your third straight road game, the title game. Now, back in the day, early on in the first iteration of the postseason, and then when they redid it in 1990 for the six teams, there was a period of time before they realigned in 2002 with the four divisions where you could earn a home game in the wild card round as a wild card. There were wild card teams that played their first game at home and then played the divisional round and the conference championship on the road. So in that case, there was only two straight road games. Now we know there's been teams, the 2020 Bucks, the 2010 Packers, the 07 Giants, 05 Steelers. You go back to the 1985 Patriots that played three straight road games in the postseason. But all those teams, the last game of the regular season was at home. For the Commanders, their last regular season game was in Dallas, which means this will be their fourth consecutive road game. Final game of the regular season, wild card round at Tampa, divisional round at Detroit, and now here we go. Now, they've already bucked the trend because three straight road games is a big challenge for teams in the NFL historically. So they've already bucked the trend. So I'm not saying they can't do it, but that's a big advantage for the Eagles on Sunday to be at home. They haven't left home since their trip to D.C. in late December. The Commanders haven't been home since their second to last game of the season on December 29th. Big advantage for the Eagles. All right, second big advantage that hit me as I was going through the first, you know, iteration of my thoughts for the game. Sam Cosmi, their right guard, is out. He went out during the game early against Detroit. It was revealed yesterday and unveiled yesterday. He has a torn ACL, obviously gone for the postseason. So the Commanders are down one of their better offensive linemen. That's a guy that lines up right in front of Jalen Carter on a lot of plays. That's a big mismatch now for the Eagles. Look, Carter might have beaten Cosmi anyway, but now he gets his backup. Big advantage there. So the Commanders, fourth straight road game, and they're down one of the more significant linemen lining up against the Eagles' best defensive player. That feels like a big thing. That's my second thought there, the Cosmi thing. Third one. And I really started this rewatching the game a little bit last night, watching some more of the highlights. I mean, we've all done it, right? How many times have you watched the highlights of Saquon Barkley's runs? But I saw a statistic last night from Jeff McClain, and I was rewatching some of the games. So look at this, or listen to this, I should say. I mean, you could look at it. It's not a camera on me right now. But the Eagles gained on Sunday against the Rams 184 of their 350 yards, net yards, on three running plays. Okay, so the three running plays, the Jalen run in the first quarter, the Saquon run in the first quarter, and then, of course, the Saquon run late. Those three plays accounted for 184 of the Eagles' 350 net yards. On the other 58 plays, they averaged just 2.8 yards. And thinking about the Eagles' offense the first couple weeks of the postseason here, especially yesterday, or I should say on Sunday, there is a little bit 2023 Phillies offense in the postseason to the way they're scoring and moving the football right now. What I mean by that is you go back and think about how the Phillies scored early and they beat the Braves and knocked them out in game three and game four here in Philadelphia, how they bludgeoned the Diamondbacks at game one and game two of that series in the NLCS. There was a little bit of, excuse me, they're hitting home runs in the postseason at a historic rate. But they really weren't generating offense other than that. And what happens if the home runs calm down? What happens if the home runs stop coming in bunches the way they are now? And I remember I was sitting there in a meeting before our show one day, and I was looking at some of the numbers, like the Phillies offense in that postseason compared to the other home run barrages in postseason history. And I had a little bit of a sense of dread. Because everybody else on the list with the Phillies, the 2023 Phillies, when it came to home run prowess in the postseason, they all didn't win the World Series, or I think most of them didn't win the World Series. And it was like, all right, what's the correlation here? And the correlation was, it will eventually fall off. And do you have another punch? Do you have another ability to go drive the football and score? Or for the Phillies in that case, can you get situational hits? Can you string together at bats? Can you play small ball? Can you do something else if the opponent clamps down on your ability to hit the ball to the park? Which, you know, for the Phillies, that certainly happened when they went to Arizona and they came back for game six and seven. They weren't driving the ball to the ballpark quite as much, and they weren't able to generate as much offense. I think about the Eagles. They scored three touchdowns on Sunday. They were all on long runs. Long runs are not typical. Now, Saquon Barkley is on a typical back. He may have one or two more in him as we go throughout this postseason. Maybe he has three more in him. I mean, he's having a magical season. So I'm not ruling that out, that they could win this game Sunday on a huge Saquon run. But that's hard to do. And I think about the Jalen run on Sunday. He broke a tackle there. I mean, if he stumbles and falls, do they score a touchdown on that drive? Is it a field goal? Is it a missed field goal? I don't know. They're not methodical drives with efficiency. These are home runs the Eagles are hitting. Can they keep hitting that? And I go back to the way the Eagles played the Commanders last time when they lost down there in Washington. And, you know, it really was one magical run by Saquon that was his whole day really running the football. So I'm looking at the box score. Commanders 36 and the Eagles 33 in late December in Washington, right? You had Saquon going 29 for 150. But one of those runs, a 68-yard touchdown run. So let's just take that off the board. 150, a little math here, minus 68, okay? 82 yards. So on his other 28 runs, Saquon Barkley averaged 2.92 yards per carry. And I feel like the game could be very similar this week in that if he doesn't break them, if it doesn't break one, there's going to be a lot of blah plays. The passing game right now is blah. The run game on Sunday was blah outside of three amazing runs. Maybe the Eagles hit a couple more home runs on their way to an NFC championship, but I think they're going to need more sustained offense to go win these to win this football game and need a little bit more down-to-down production to keep the Commanders off the field. That hit me on my first thought on the game. Our fourth one. The Commanders aren't going to be afraid to run at the Eagles. That I believe. So the Commanders on Saturday night, against the Lions. Now, even if you take away Jaden Daniels and his 16 runs, just Robinson and Eckler, they combined for 21 rushes for 124 yards. And then if you take Eckler in the passing game, four catches, 41 yards. Cliff Kingsbury had a good game plan on Saturday night against the Detroit Lions. I think he's going to have another good one here. I think the Eagles right now are missing N'Kobe Dean. You saw Josh Jacobs get going when N'Kobe went out of that game in the wild card round. On Sunday, against the Rams will remember the fumble by Kyren Williams. He has fumbling issues, but I thought he ran well. I thought he ran tough. I thought he made a lot of big plays through the middle. I think they missed the Kobe Dean right now. And what the Eagles have to not let happen is the Commanders control the football game on Sunday. They can. They just did it to the Detroit Lions. The Commanders are a team that likes to hold the football. They like to have long, long drives. I'm going to pull up the box score of the game against the Lions. Box score, 45-31. Commanders win the game. They held the football on Saturday night for 33 minutes and 59 seconds to the Lions 26-01. Time of possession in the NFL in 2024. The Philadelphia Eagles led the NFL 32 minutes per game, 32-12. Washington was seventh at 30-56. Okay, whoever wins time of possession, it has a great chance of winning this game. And because the fourth downs are such a big part of what Washington does, they don't want to give the football back. So the run game is going to be a part of that. They don't just want to pass it. It's not just a high-flying thing. They're a physical, tough football team. Now, the Cosby loss is a big one, but they're going to try to run the football, and they're going to try to keep the Eagles off the field. And if I'm in Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury's head, my thought is this. If I keep the Eagles off the field and I limit their possessions, and I just take away, you know, let's say the Eagles are typically a 2-3 home run per game team. Sometimes it's been the pass game. Mostly it's been in the running game. If I take away a possession or two because I hold the football, shorten the game, and I take away one or two of those home runs, you know, where is the Eagles' points coming from? How are they getting points? They have a shaky kicker. They have a shaky quarterback that's banged up right now. So you could see how they're going to do it. Now, the Eagles' job on defense is to get the Commanders off the field and to stop their run and get Jaden Daniels in third and long, make him make a mistake the way he did a couple times down in Washington. Of course, the Eagles let him get the football back. All right, that's what we got. We got four straight road game, Cosby out, home runs. They aren't afraid to run. That's four thoughts. Fifth early thought on the game. Zach Ertz. It's amazing. I love Zach Ertz when he was here. I was banging the table early in his career that he could be a future Pro Football Hall of Famer. And I remember a lot of people pushing back on that. And I don't know if he's going to make it. I mean, he hasn't sustained a great level at a top, 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 top tier probably to do it. Though he did 66 catches this year. But, you know, I mean, like, we could be real. Excuse me. Last year he fell off, only 27 catches, 47 in 2022. He's probably not going to make the Hall of Fame, but man, 775 catches for a tight end. I'm going to look up where he ranks right now. Most receptions, tight end, all time. Let's see. Zach Ertz is now sixth in the NFL. Most receptions by a tight end in the history of pro football. And I'll tell you what, his numbers are pretty darn comparable to Shannon Sharp. So, by next year, assuming he plays next year, he will pass Shannon Sharp in catches. He will be close to Shannon Sharp in receiving touchdowns. He's eight behind him. And he's only about 5 yards per game off of the pace that Shannon Sharp had in his career. He's got a ring. He could end up in another Super Bowl unless the Eagles upend him this weekend. I think Zach Ertz is a borderline guy. Probably doesn't make the Hall of Fame, but if he doesn't, Gonzalez Hall of Famer, Witten Hall of Famer, Kelsey, obviously Travis Kelsey will be in the Hall of Fame, Antonio Gates Hall of Famer, Shannon Sharp Hall of Famer. So Zach Ertz, if he doesn't make the Hall of Fame, will have the most receptions of any tight end to not make the Hall of Fame. And there's really the only guy close that's on his heels that may overtake him one day is Kittle if he keeps producing at a really high level. Otherwise, no one's even in the picture. I mean, no one is even close at the tight end position. You know, maybe down the line it's going to be Bowers is probably going to get there very fast. But the bottom line is Ertz is still productive. And what I've noticed this year, he's their got-to-have-it guy. If it is a red zone moment, if it's a fourth down moment, they're throwing the ball to Zach Ertz. They sealed the game on Saturday night, throwing the football to Zach Ertz. He's their got-to-have-it guy. Play against Pittsburgh in November before they came here. It was a 4th-and-9. Jaden Daniels hit Zach Ertz, and they ruled him down like a half yard short of the first down. Pittsburgh got the ball back. They win the football game. But Ertz, on those got-to-have-it over-the-middle moments, you know, those intermediate throws, not a Hail Mary. I just mean intermediate throws over the middle. He's become their got-to-have-it guy. The Eagles have to be ready for Zach Ertz on Sunday. Two more early thoughts in this game. Cannot let Josh Harris raise a trophy here. I don't have to expound on this. I cannot handle the sight of Josh Harris raising the George Halas Trophy in Philadelphia. It's just, it's a non-starter. It can't happen. No way, no how. And my last thought, seventh early thought on the Commanders and Eagles. We're a win away from talk about this as being the best Eagles run in history. Two Super Bowl appearances would top the four straight NFC championship games. I believe that. I believe if you factor in 2021, a Super Bowl trip in 2002, an 11-win season last year, and another Super Bowl trip this year, I think that tops 2001, 2003, 2004. I believe it tops that run in Eagles history. They may need a fifth year just to pile on the stats next year and the numbers, but that talk will begin if the Eagles do win this game and make it to Super Bowl 59. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, follow the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there. Email, newsletter, send me a note. I'll send you a link to sign up directly for free. Midday show, every day 10 to 2 on WIP. Of course, the pregame, YouTube. Check it all out. It's a huge week. Good luck to Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins and Billy Wagner and Bobby Abreu for the Baseball Hall of Fame voting. Thanks so much for listening to WIP Daily.